Good morning, everybody. So this morning we've got a special morning for you, I think. We're going to be talking here with Barbie here in just a little while. We're going to get started, though, talking through a piece of the Christmas story. So we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas here this week. And for some of you, you might be really familiar with the story about the first Christmas. Some of you may not be. I'm going to kind of just quickly summarize until we get to this passage here in Luke chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, you can go ahead and get a head start and turn to Luke chapter 2. But to catch us up on how we wind up getting to this scene of the Nativity, Mary and Joseph were a young couple 2,000 years ago. They were promised to be married to each other, and unexpectedly to both of them, miraculously, Mary, while she was still a virgin, became pregnant. And an angel came to Mary and then to Joseph and kind of explained what's going on, and that the son that they were going to have would be God's Savior that people had been looking for, that God's people have been looking for generations and generations. And because Mary and Joseph lived in a tiny little country that had been taken over by a big and powerful country that wanted more tax money, they had to actually travel while Mary was pregnant. A pretty far distance just to fill out some government paperwork. And so they traveled to this little town of Bethlehem, and our story is going to pick up with a group of shepherds, kind of an unlikely group. So we're going to pick up in chapter 2, verse 8 of the Gospel of Luke. So if you'll read that along with me, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." So when Mary and Joseph had gotten to that town and there wasn't room for them, they'd actually had to have the baby in a manger and put Jesus in a feeding trough, kind of like we see there. But close by to that manger, there are these shepherds. And if we go to this next slide, we get kind of a picture of maybe what did shepherds look like back then. Shepherds were guys that didn't own much land, probably didn't maybe own any land, and they're working a job where they've got to sleep on the cold ground. They get, when it rains, they get wet. When it's hot, they get hot. You know, they're outside with a bunch of sheep day in and day out. And if you've ever been around sheep very much, I don't know if you guys have been or not, but they're a lot of work to take care of. They're not very intelligent animals, and they need to eat a ton. So all during the day, they're trying to take them to safe places to get grass, to get water. But then at night, if you've been around sheep at night, it's kind of a peaceful setting of, you know, they'll get down on their haunches and before they kind of doze in and out of sleep, between sleep and then like hiccuping to themselves so they can like keep eating their cud, like eating all that stuff. So they're just, I don't know, that's what sheep do at night. So if you can picture this scene, in the middle of the night, sheep are doing that, it's pretty peaceful, but the shepherds, even though they've been walking around all day, the nighttime is the time when some sort of predator might come. And so even though they probably want to go to sleep and their whole goal that night is just to get through the night and have all the sheep live till the next day, so they're staying up and watching what's going on. So that's our picture, that's our scene for those shepherds. Let's see what happens in the story. So if we go to the next slide here, verse 9, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So if you've heard this story a lot, you might have just read over that, and you get this image of like Christmas songs and, you know, an angel showing up and things like that. But if you think about it practically, you've got all these sheep that were just hanging out asleep, and then there's this super bright light, and it terrifies the shepherds. And even though sheep aren't very smart, they pick up on that sort of stuff of giant light when there shouldn't be a light, and the guys that I trust are really scared. So I bet these sheep start to scatter all over the place, but the guys are freaking out too, and they're scared. There's this giant light, and there's this angel. Let's go on to verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" And then in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So he's talking about Jesus here. Jesus, the Savior, has been born. In verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." If we go on, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So our series right now is on grace and transformation. And here's the grace side of this morning's story, is that God chose to send Jesus to us. Why? Because God loves us. He loves the people of earth. And so even the heavenly beings can sing a song about how earth's blessed because God loves all of you. We go on to verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's go on to our next verse here, but I'm going to come back to that. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Verse 7. Oh, yeah, here we go. So I want to stop for just a second, though. If you remember when I was talking about the shepherds, angel shows up. I bet the sheep all freak out and scatter. All this crazy stuff happens, and angel speaks to them and tells them there's this Savior coming, and there's this laser light show from heaven or something, and there's people singing and stuff. And then the angel leaves. And so it had been really dark. It was nighttime. A bright light shows up. We all know how that feels at night. If you turn on a light and then the light goes off, then you like can't see anything. Everything's dark again. The sheep have probably run who knows where. The shepherds now have to make this choice. They've seen something they've never, ever seen before. It's a gigantic experience with God. But their goal at the start of the night probably was just to get through the night with all the sheep alive and still there in the morning. And they could have looked at each other and said, like, "That's weird. Let's go get the sheep. Like, let's go round up all these sheep that are everywhere and see if we can get to sleep." We could just stick with their regular everyday goal. But the shepherds don't do that. Instead, we don't even know if they get the sheep at all. Maybe they just leave them wandering around. They look to each other and say, "Let's go find out about this. Let's go figure this thing out." And when we think about our experiences as we go through life, I bet everybody in this room at some point has had an experience with God. Maybe you have never seen angels in the middle of the night, but maybe there was a car wreck, or maybe there's a moment, an afternoon, when you remember God was there, God saved me, or God helped me, or God said something to me in my heart. But most of us don't wind up in Bible stories. And if the shepherds had just said, "Whoa, that was weird with the angels, let's go back to taking care of the sheep," I don't think they would have wound up in Luke chapter 2 either. And most of us, when we have some experience with God, we wind up just saying, "Well, what was I doing before that experience? I'm going to go back to taking care of my problems, or back to going to sleep, or whatever I was doing." If we don't go and investigate, I think we'll miss out on something big with God. So let's talk through that a little bit, Bob. If someone's here today and they've had some sort of experience with God in the past, how do they take a step towards figuring that out? How do they act like the shepherds and investigate?
That's good. Thank you. I have, on my end of the message today, the idea of talking to somebody who's brand new. So guys on the front row, you all fit in the brand new category probably. And there's some others here who are brand new to thinking about God. And so I thought back to almost 45 years ago when I was brand new. And what was it like? And I would say to you all, things were very, very fresh and alive. And I was naive. But it was just like, wow, okay. I remember there was a girl that I saw in school, and My prayer life was so naive. I was at the park, and I pulled a quarter out and said, "God, if you want me to ask her out, have it come up heads." And I flipped a coin up in the air. And so it was fresh, and it was new. And what I found myself doing was reading the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know where to find things in the Bible. I had never been exposed very little to the Bible. And so I started reading some. Here's what I'd recommend for you to do. Number one, don't just go on the assumption that, that other people have told you things about God. Get to go know God yourself. And one of the very best ways to do that is to start just with the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. And just read it. Just read it. And then when you get through with Matthew, go to Mark. And when you get through with Mark, go to Luke. And when you get through with Luke, go to John. Those are the first four books. And you may take a really nice, slow time to go through that. Devote some time to reading those books. Did y'all notice what Jake did? Jake spent some time in this story. He thought about what was going on. He just didn't read the words. He thought about what was going on. And so what would it be like to be a shepherd out in the field? And he went on the internet and he found some pictures about what shepherds might look like. Those are some things you can do. What is it like to see God? What would it be like? And so what I'd encourage you to do is to invest some time just thinking about the things of God. Here's what will happen. God will speak to you through the Bible. And you're not going to hear voices out in space more than likely. That's right. But you, on the inside, you're going to have nudges and you're going to have inclinations. Okay? And as you get those nudges and those inclinations, God, are you talking to me? What I find myself doing when I do my reading is I find usually there's a theme every day of something God wants me to do. And I actually write that theme down. This is what God is saying to me today. And I try to focus on that. Don't do it every day, but I try to focus on that for the day. So as a beginning person, investigate. Get to know who Jesus is. Does anybody have a cell phone in here? Huh? We all carry them? Are there more apps on this phone than you could ever imagine? Things to do? How in the world do you learn to work those things? You investigate. You spend some time on it. You devote some time. Is it not important for you to spend way more time investigating the things of God than you do how to work a mobile device? And so devote some time to it. Spend some time with it. Get started with it. Just stay basic. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn to meet the Lord. Open yourself up to Him. When He tells you to do something, try it out and do it. Josh has been at this for 7 years, and he's going to talk about how to go about dealing with God's Word along the road. So start with me beginning. Now we're going to go down the road a little bit. Tell us something about it.
Yeah, well, there was a time where I didn't really know anything about God. The only thing I knew was what I'd been told. And they were talking about there was a day that I had an experience with God, I thought. And like some of you might think that there was a time where you had an experience with God. And so what I did about it was I thought that I did have an experience with God. And so I made up my mind that day that I would investigate further. And so the things that I started to do was I really wanted to know. I saw what I thought was a miracle happened in my life. And I started this investigation. I started to read the Bible actually for myself. Because the things that I had thought about God, it was only what I'd been told. I'd never really read it for myself to find out. Okay? And that's pretty common, I think, in our culture today. And so I started to investigate it for myself. And it was lining up with my life pretty good, you know? And What I know now that I didn't know then, that I will tell you now, is that that is God speaking to you. Just know that today, that if you're reading the Bible and it's lining up in your life and it's answering questions and it's giving you direction, that is God talking to you, okay? There's a couple little verses that they popped out at me at first, and one of the big ones was that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And how's He going to reward you? I think that He gives you wisdom. He gives you knowledge. He gives you peace. He gives you discernment. He gives you these things that you never had before. And these are the most important things that He can give you. I think that the wisdom is that you can make wise choices for your life, you know, that you can, I think the knowledge is like knowing what the Bible says. Before, I didn't have Bible knowledge. I only knew what I was told about the Bible. So when I read it, I knew that some stuff I'd been told really wasn't true. And the other stuff really was true. And I knew that what the Bible said about situations in my life. The knowledge is also that to know when the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And before, you just thought it was like, you weren't sure what that was, but as you grow in knowledge of the Bible, God will give you the knowledge to know that, no, that is me talking to you. That's me talking to you. And the discernment, I think, that I'm talking about is to be able to see through. Is in my life, I believed a lie the majority of my life. And God started to let me see through that onto the other side of, like, all the way to the consequences, you know. He let me see through it, and then I was able to make a wiser decision about whether I would choose to do that or not once I could see to the end of it. And so, you know, and the peace that I spoke of, the peace is this weird peace, man, that he gives you this weird peace, and it's in the midst of the storm. And it's, anybody can have peace when it's peaceful, but he gives you this peace that's inside you, man, that it overcomes everything in your life. And so here's what I do. I have a regimen that I set up a long time ago, and I kind of learned this from Bob. And I read Jesus, man. I read Jesus. I read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the most important things that I read in my life. But I don't just read that. I like Proverbs a lot, too. It gives you wisdom and knowledge, I think, out of Proverbs. I do that I also do it on a daily basis. This is stuff I do on a daily basis. I read books that challenge me, you know, not just reading like a mystery novel. I read books that challenge me. And in our small groups, we run through the letters that Paul wrote. So it's a... And if Rudy's here, sometimes I even actually read the Old Testament. And let me finish this up by saying this. There's one of my favorite verses is this. It's in John 15. It says, "Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And if you'll abide in me..." And I'm like, "What's that mean, Jesus?" And Jesus is like, "Hey, man, it means like, be connected with me, man. Walk with me, love me, obey me. This is just, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And if you'll do that, you can ask me anything you want, and I'll do it for you." That's Jesus' words, man. And that's an awesome thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I think something that came through in both Bob and Josh's stories is this conversation with Jesus. I mean, even Bob starting so humbly about, "This is a girl I like," and trying to talk through that with God. But wherever you're at, get Jesus' input on what's going on.
I don't advise you guys flipping any coins on decisions in your life.
No, that's
please
a good
consult
point.
A professional.
Yeah, but it all worked out, obviously. So in the end, at least. So let's see, though, a little bit about these shepherds as we're going to go on with their story. One other thing I would add: we've talked a lot about investigating Jesus. We've talked about ways you can do it as an individual. But something else the story shows us is that the shepherds said, "Hey, let's go see this thing." It took some guys that were close to them and went together. And that's why we do small groups. That's hopefully why you guys hang out with each other during the week, is that Christianity's best when we're together with other Christians going the same direction. So the shepherds in verse 17, it says, when they had seen Jesus, so they go and they see him in the manger just like the angel had described, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So we've got a two-parter here today, two lessons. One is, as Christians or anybody that's experiencing God, we need to go investigate. We need to go touch and feel, not just hear about it. You may have sat in church for 50 years, or this might be your first Sunday, but we've all heard something about God, but we all have a responsibility to respond to it, to go look deeper ourselves. But here's the second piece of what the shepherds did. They went and told other people what they had seen and heard. And if you are here in church today and all you've done is heard a lot about God, but you haven't experienced him, you haven't seen him and touched him, then you don't have a lot to share. But if you start going through life with God, wherever you start trying to bring God along with you, God's going to get involved. When God gets involved in your life, you're going to start to share with other people. And so we brought Barbie here today to actually talk to us about that. Barbie, if I can summarize just in a real quick nutshell, Barbie's testimony about how did she first experience God. You know, she had made a lot of poor decisions in her life, had done a lot of things that she thought she'd never do, hurting other people, breaking promises, selling drugs, getting into lots of dangerous situations. And there was a night where she was at a drug house and got super dangerous, and the police showed up out of the blue, and they were at the wrong place, which is ridiculous. But they actually took Barbie out of that really dangerous house, and while she was in the back of the cop car, she felt like God was telling her, I saved you from yourself. And maybe you've had that moment where you were almost in a big trouble, and you feel like God stepped in and got you out of the frying pan. But let's hear about what Barbie actually did with that. So God showed up in your life, saved you from yourself. But how did you respond after that? Were you just like, well, I got out of that one situation? Or what happened?
The police actually showed up at my house, and I knew that when you're living that lifestyle, I had this feeling, and I knew that it was my time. You know, that my number was up, and it was getting ready to get really bad. And it was at my house, and the police showed up, and they pulled me out of there, and they came for a hostage. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, there better not be a hostage in here. You know what I'm saying? And, when they pulled me out of there, and, you know, I was in the car, they didn't arrest anyone else but me. And I thought, you know, that always happens too. But God told me, he said, I just saved you from yourself. And I asked the jailer, I was the only one in the jail, and I asked the jailer, I said, what did you just say? And he said, I didn't say anything, take a seat. And I sat down, I heard it again. He said, I just saved you from yourself. Well, I went to jail, and when I had got out of jail, you know, I could have gone one way, you know, and I had left. I knew it was everything I could do. I couldn't do it myself, get away from that lifestyle, the drugs, the dope, the boyfriend, the everything. I couldn't do it. But in God's strength, when I walked out there that night, it was in God's strength that I did not go back. I left my house on 2 acres and everything in it and went down to the healing house. And I said, I trust you, God, no more.
Okay, so you made this big decision to physically move in the direction God wanted you to go in.
Yeah.
And things started to change from that point on. We were talking just yesterday about this, about God started to free you from a lot of your old past, from a lot of what was going on.
Yeah.
People started to notice these good changes in you, or that you're getting free of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Were your friends and family, were they all happy when they saw these sorts of changes?
A lot of times, I didn't really go out around a lot of people for a long time. I stayed very inside in a small circle. But when I did start to get out and I'd run into people, a lot of them were like, hey, wow, whoa, hey, what are you doing? They knew I was clean. They could for sure tell I was clean, and they weren't quite sure what else was going on with me. And they would say, well, what's going on? What are you doing, you know? And let me tell you, there is so much power in the name Jesus. Because people that were, when I would say Jesus, they would just be like, what? You know, what? You know, and I would tell them, you know, he saved my life. You know, and he loves you, and he'll save yours too. And some of them would want to hear more about it, and some of them would run the other way. But that was okay. Sometimes they would be happy that I was doing good, and sometimes they would be resentful.
Yeah, can you explain that to me a little bit? Why were people resentful that you had changed?
You know, a lot of times in that lifestyle, sometimes people were like, oh, well, she must have been telling, or she must have gotten in some trouble, which I didn't. But, you know, they just couldn't quite get it. How come you got to quit? How come you were set free? They couldn't understand it. You know, how come he picked you? And I really, for a long time, couldn't understand it myself, but I know that I had to completely surrender, not just that day, but every day. I still do this day. And, you know, when I got clean, you know, you would think that, your family and people would be like, you know, completely responsive on a happy note for that, but it doesn't work like that sometimes. Sometimes they don't understand why you have joy, why you have peace, and then they get upset and frustrated because they don't have that.
Yeah. Can you mentioned there that you every day you surrender to Jesus. What does that look like? What is that?
Well, every morning I wake up and before my feet hit the floor, I say, God, I surrender this day to you. I surrender my life to you. God, use me today to do what you want me to do. Lord, bless my hands as I let everything I do be to glorify you. Let your light shine through me. And just, I pray that in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and the fruit is there. I mean, there's a reason we asked Barbie to come up and talk this morning. You see God involved in Barbie's life, and you see that daily step of surrendering, it's making a difference in her life. But I know some other people will come up to you and almost have this attitude like, oh, well, it's easy for you, but it's hard for me. Have you had anybody act kind of like that towards you, like it's easy for you to do the right thing, but not for me?
Yeah, I have, and it's not easy. You know, a lot of times when you come from the lifestyle that I came from, you can take those bad traits, like the things that I lived by, and you can take them and use them for the good. You can take the same standards and morals and ethics that you live by, and now you can turn them around and use them for the good. You can stand on the things that you stood on them, but now you can stand on them as well as God's promises. The fruit is in the root. It comes from what you're putting inside. What you put inside comes out. And if you are building your relationship with God, spending time in the Word, spending time in it that you are studying it and then applying it to your life, then you are going to get what you put into it. You're going to get out of it. It's not easy all the time, but I can have joy in when storms come because I trust God.
Yeah, no, thank you, Barbie. A couple of the thoughts. One thing you shared with me yesterday, you talked about stepping out in faith. Can you talk through that a little bit? When do you have to do that? What is that about, stepping out in faith?
Well, I've stepped out in faith in a lot of different things in my life because, you know, everyone has certain struggles, but it's how do you handle your struggles? You know, are you gonna moan and complain and, you know, go through them like, you know, that you're just miserable? Or are you gonna say, God, I don't quite understand this, but you are the king of my life, and I trust you. I don't have to understand it to trust you that you're gonna get me through it.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's an awesome definition of what does it mean to step out on faith. You don't understand it, but you submit. Jesus is your king, and you trust him even though you don't see it all. So, Barb, my final question for you is, you know, you experience a lot with Jesus. If I told you the next 4 weeks you can't tell anybody about Jesus, you can't talk about Jesus, would that be hard for you? Is it like, would that like bottle you up?
Yeah, extremely. You know, I think one of the main things about being productive for God is to obey his teachings. And I think that when it is so hard to contain him when you are pressing into God, it is hard to contain all of him inside you. When you're so filled, when you know, with the Holy Spirit, it's hard to contain it. I wrote some things down. It's, you know, to be productive for God, you have to obey his teachings, resist temptation, actively serve and help others, and share your faith. Tell people about what Jesus did for you, because he will do it for them as well. He did it for everybody. He'll do it for you as well. You know, I had to lose everything to gain it all. And, you know, I like Deuteronomy 28 about the blessings in obedience. And I have found that in the first 2 years of walking with Christ, you know, there was a lot of things that I learned. And then I learned things every single day. And the relationship is a constant relationship with Christ. And some of the things that I do is pray daily without ceasing, to do just, which is, you know, zealous for the good works, to give for the kingdom, live to serve, to lead diligently, and to speak boldly about Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Barbie. Today we've heard about these shepherds. We've heard about Barbie's life as well. In both cases, we see this example set before us of how are you going to respond to God in your life? Are you going to reach out for God to actually see and touch, experience something with Jesus? This week, you can make that decision. You can say, I want to step out in a new way. I'm going to read the Gospel of Luke that we were reading in today. Or you can say, I'm going to pray every day like Barbie was praying about God be the king of my life today. You can step out in some sort of fresh way. If you're already doing those things, what's a fresh way that you can reach out for Jesus? And my last challenge for us today, though, is Barbie talked about she can't bottle it up. She can't go multiple weeks without telling somebody about what Jesus has been doing in her life. She's like, when you press into God, you can't keep it all in. And I felt challenged by that when I heard Barbie share that with me. Because I think, who have I shared Jesus with that didn't know Jesus already? It's easy to come in and talk to somebody else here at church about what you learned in the Bible, but who have I talked to about what God's doing in my life that's far away from God? Who have I shown? Maybe even when you look in your life, you think, I don't even know anybody that doesn't know Jesus, or I don't even talk like that with anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Figure out a way this week, figure out a way this Christmas period to talk to somebody about what God's doing in your life. So reach out to God, submit to him like Barbie's talking about, but then tell someone else about God. Show someone else about God. We didn't read the end of this story here, but the shepherds start praising God for everything that God's done in their life. They're the first people that get to share about Jesus. That same joy that they had, we can experience as we investigate and then share. As the worship team comes up right now, we're gonna all go back to our seats. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And please decide today, how are you going to investigate? Who are you going to share with? If you don't make a decision in the next 15 minutes, next 5 minutes, I'm just going to fill you in on your future. You're probably going to have the exact same week this week that you had last week. You're going to do the same stuff or lack of stuff with God. Okay, so take some time. Think about it. What am I going to do? Am I going to pray like Barbie prays every morning? Am I going to share with somebody else? Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that just like Barbie said, you offer your grace to all of us. Like the angels talked about, you have favor for us. You care about us. God, help us to push in towards you, to experience you this week, and to tell somebody about it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.